Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network, Season 6, Episode 94. And Dave, the owners' meetings getting going in Boca Raton. I'll tell you one thing about the owners of every sport. They never pick bad destinations. They always got good places to go. So they're down in Boca Raton. And Kevin Colbert spoke to the media yesterday, and Mike Tomlin, as of 12:30, has not yet spoken to the media today, but he is expected to do that. And we haven't heard from Tomlin since the season's end. So we'll get a chance to, if we don't have that today, talk about that on Friday. I'm sure you'll be writing about it for tomorrow. But let's talk about what Kevin said. And, you know, as we talked about off air, again, and this is true just about every general manager, nothing kind of earth shattering.
Yeah, he gave us a lot to write about, but I'm not sure we learned anything. As a blogger, that's good both ways, because it gives you something to throw up this time of off season to discuss of things that have or were said, and not a lot that we didn't know. But you know, let's start talking a little bit about what Colbert did say, and I think really the first thing that kind of caught my eye, and I believe Jerry Dulac was the first to kind of hit this on Twitter, is that the Steelers have been actively tracking the top cornerbacks in this year's draft class. Once again, not overly surprising when it comes to that, but Colbert did reveal that a few pro days they'll be visiting this coming week. I believe Houston has theirs with William Jackson III, and I believe Florida has theirs as well this week as well. And while we don't expect him to still be on the board, of course, Hargraves will be one of the big draws there. But Keanu Neal, you know, the safety, the Steelers have reportedly shown some interest in. That'll be interesting to see the presence that the Steelers have at that pro day. As well, Colbert went on to really tell us what we already knew about Cortez Allen, really non-committal.
Dave, let me just stop here 1 second on the cornerback, the draft thing. And look, I know people disagree with me on this, but I don't look at the fact that the Steelers haven't drafted a corner since 1997 as having any bearing on this draft. Like I said, I could be completely wrong on this, but if they, as an organization, aren't looking at the best player to fill their most important needs, and it's clear they've got a lot of needs on defense, so I'm not telling you it has to be a corner, but you know, they should be looking at corners, and if there's a corner there who fits what they need, they should draft him. 1997 be damned. I mean, you go out and do what's best for your football team.
Yeah, but with that said, it's hard to ignore the string as well, too, especially, you know, going back. I mean, let's not go back as far as 97. Let's go back as far as 2000 when Kevin Colbert took over. But, and look, I'm not here to, people know my thoughts on this. I'm not going to mock any cornerback to the Steelers. Now, is it wrong for me to do that? Probably, but it, you know, it goes without saying, history of first round cornerback, well, cornerbacks in general, a position in this league that's so hard to gauge. And I think in order for the Steelers to draft a cornerback this year specifically in the first round, that player or players that they narrow it down to have to check a lot of boxes. You know, there's the character box. There's, of course, the tape box. We could go on and on.
They're the same for every guy, right? It's not just corners, right?
Sure, but I mean, let's weigh into it though. Would you not agree the further you get away from the snap of the football, the harder it is to determine, you know, fits in the NFL.
Well, quarterback's damn near the snap of the football, and it's hard to determine that position.
Yeah, outside of quarterback. then. I'll give you quarterback, because how many times have we seen first round quarterbacks just, you know, immediately just fall out of the league?
I don't know that I'd say that. I mean, you look at the Steelers, you know, look at Bud Dupree and Jarvis Jones and, you know, versus, I don't even know who to compare to. I guess I've heard that before, but I don't know that I buy it.
I just think when it comes to the Steelers specifically, it really would have to be a special player at cornerback, you know, based on the position history and based on the team's history alone. I'm not here to say, I'm pointing at the fence and saying they're not going to do it. I will be overly surprised, because here's the other part of my kind of twisted thinking as well too. If a cornerback is still on the board there at 25 overall, what's wrong with him? You know, now if we're talking top 15 picks, you know, I'd probably be a little bit more inclined. But man, if there is a good cornerback still on the board that fits what the Steelers look for at 25th overall, what the hell's wrong with him?
Yeah, I mean, that's really cynical. You know, because you look at
that's my middle name,
right? Now, but I mean, we also know that there are a lot of quality D linemen and linebackers here, and you know, the Steelers may get the benefit of seeing potentially, you know, three quarterbacks go, you know, before they pick. So, you know, when you look at teams like the Bengals picking right, they're picking right ahead of the Steelers and say, well, look, I mean, they've got a massive need at wide receiver. You know, they've signed some of their secondary guys, so, you know, they're not in the market, and who else isn't in the market? So, you know, I don't know. It's just in most – when you're thinking of the top 50 players in the draft, I think most analysts who are grading talent have put five or six corners in that group. And then, you know, I don't know how well we can delineate the 10th best player from the 15th best player. Maybe we can delineate the 10th best player from the 40th best player. But when you get past 15, I don't know. Do we know, you know, look at Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you know, we can cite a billion examples, but do we know, you know, who the best player is? You know, do we have a great sense of that, you know, delineating between 20 and 40?
Well, here's another way I look at it too. What are the chances three corners are off the board by the time the Steelers pick?
I'd say it's 100% the two are off the board, and I'd say you're probably at 60% three are off the board.
Okay, what are the chances of that fourth cornerback? Let's speculate that three are off the board. What are the chances that fourth cornerback is rated near or about, you know, when you stack your board? Is there going to be another position of need and want, as Kevin Colbert likes to say, that is going to be, you know, that much higher on the board? You understand where I'm going with
that? Yeah,
this?
I mean, I don't know.
You know, is the third rated
D lineman going to be on the board? Is the third rated inside linebacker going to be on the board? Is the third rated safety going to be on the board? Maybe the safety, but I wouldn't expect the other two to be on the board.
Well, you got to think too of what the Steelers look for fit scheme wise as well too. You know, not all top defensive linemen are going to fit what they need. You know, when you talk about, you know, guys, you know, 4-3 defensive ends and along those lines. So I think scheme plays a big role in that as well too. Like I said, I'm not ruling out the possibility, but I still will be surprised if cornerback is the pick for everything that I've covered, not only in this show but in previous shows as well too. And now if we're getting into the conversation where only two cornerbacks are off the board, and then maybe you're in the realm of what, a McKenzie Alexander or let's say an Eli Apple, then you know, I you have some serious conversations there. But let's you know, Apple obviously has the length. McKenzie Alexander doesn't. Apple doesn't probably necessarily have the college playing time that you would maybe like. You know, short
20 starts, right?
More than 20. I mean, I think he's borderline 30. But
not a ton of guys are getting a lot more starts than that in college.
Well, you know, there's another half a season really involved there, maybe with a few of them. And then you have guys like Mackenzie Alexander that, while, you know, has a lot of good attributes, didn't have the playmaking. You know, didn't record an interception and stuff like that. So I think the big discussion, and then you have a guy like William Jackson, you know, out of Houston, who, you know, really had a good bowl game, but is there more to him than just that type of thing as well, too?
Well, know? I mean, we can start at the number one pick in the draft and, you know, poke holes in every guy. I mean, you know, that's, I don't, you know, look, you're going to say check every box. I mean, start wherever you want. We can, you know, Carson Wentz at two, and, you know, we can find problems with everybody.
Sure. And I look, I'm not saying they're not going to. It's just I will be surprised if it does happen, and we'll go from there. I just think there might be better options for them, and quote unquote maybe safer options for them with that pick as well.
So Cortez Allen, I would bet today that he will be there the first day of camp with the Steelers. He will be on the roster and he will report to training camp.
As long as that knee checks out, I wrote as far as late last season that should be the case, and there should be no reason for you to cut him, especially now. Look, you've lost Antoine Blake, and some people say that's an addition through subtraction. Yes, you have re-signed William Gay, but another year older. You know, who you have Cinquez Golson, who's yet to play an NFL down. You have Duran Grant, which we really don't know what his future holds for him right now. Plus, he only played one defensive snap last year. Brandon Boykin, odds are that he's not going to be back this year. So for numbers sake alone, it would be wise to at least, you know, bring Cortez Allen to camp with you and then go from there. If he can't win a starting job, then – you know, then feel free to move on. Heck, we don't know. They could wind up drafting another two corners in this draft by the time the dust settles as well, too. But, look, you bring him to camp, you see what happens, and then you make your decision based off of that.
Okay, so Martavis.
It is curious, though, that Colbert did say we're still trying to determine where he is from a health standpoint.
Yeah, right. That was definitely odd. You would think now, you know, 6 months later, they'd know whether he needs more surgery or whether he's got a chronic injury that is going to make him, you know, a guy who can't play in the NFL. Yeah, that was a bit surprising.
Let's go back to them possibly drafting a corner in round one this year.
I thought we got that, but all right, go ahead.
No, let's go back to that, and let's say they do. How quick do you get that player on the field?
Well, you know, I think it depends on how good Cinquez Golson is. So what's his competition? Cockrell, we've seen, can play a little bit. I like what he can do. Golson's going to get every opportunity to start. And I would think if you draft, you know, one of the three guys that we've been talking about in the first round, he's going to get reps splitting time with somebody. I mean, look, I said if everything went the Steelers' way, if they had their ideal world, William Gay would open the season as the slot corner. And that means your first-round pick was fantastic and can step right in like the kid from for Kansas City did this year. Who is it, Peters? And then, you know, Golson has with a year of at least – you know, seeing the scheme and understanding the scheme has shown that he can step right in. Now, how do you feel? How comfortable are you with having two guys who've never played it down as your starting corners? Not very, and it's highly unlikely that William Gay won't be one of the outside guys. But, you know, that would be your ideal world.
Who is your favorite of the guys that might be there?
Well, I think, you know, based on track record, it's Gay, and I would probably...
No, I'm talking about the draft picks.
It's been Mackenzie Alexander, you know, since December, but I'll tell you what Apple did at the Combine, and I know I shouldn't put too much into that, it was pretty impressive in terms of his speed and his ability to kind of change direction, catch the ball. I'd probably flip a coin between those two.
Would you even consider William Jackson in that talk?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I haven't watched enough to have a good opinion about him, but I do know, you know, from talking to people that they were impressed at the combine.
Okay.
Who's your favorite?
Of the group, probably, man, it would be a toss up between Apple and Alexander. I think. I think. You know, we know how the Steelers' love affair with these Ohio State players are because they know so much about them. You know, just being the proximity and following the program and everything that goes along with that. Plus, he has the length and the speed. So I would give probably the slight tilt to Apple.
Okay, so Martavis Bryant, and again, you know, I don't want to make a straw man here, so I'm not gonna. I don't want to phrase it like that. I didn't hear a lot of people say the Steelers should immediately cut Martavis Bryant. Certainly there were some. But it really doesn't make any sense from a business, from a life perspective. Look, he's been a member of the team. If you talk to people in the organization, people aren't walking around saying Martavis Bryant is a really bad guy. The Steelers have had some bad guys. I mean, look, every team has had some bad guys. This guy's been smoking weed, and he's obviously not a very smart guy in terms of, you know, what he's done. But he's obviously a tremendously talented guy. The Steelers are going to have him under contract 2 more years. And I think Kevin laid it out just the right way. Look, the onus is on the kid to get his life straightened out. We will do what we can to help, but he's got to make some good decisions. And whatever those decisions are, whether it's counseling, whether it's rehab, whether it's completely changing who he spends his time with, I don't know the answer to how he gets that done, but he's going to have to get it done. And he's got basically 18 months to do it. But there's no guarantee he's going to come back. What are the odds that he makes good decisions the rest of the way or even over the next 18 months? They're not that good. I mean, the Browns, Josh Gordon hasn't been reinstated. And Sashi Brown said today, look, if he gets reinstated, great. But if he doesn't, we're moving forward. And I'm sure that is the Steelers' attitude. I'm betting you don't hear Mike Tomlin. If he doesn't talk about Martavis Bryant today, you won't hear him mention his name until a year from now.
Right, you have to move forward under the assumption that he won't be back.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, granted, I hope he's, geez, what a great talent he is, NFL fan, and everybody should hope that he makes it back because he's so fun to watch. But you know, everybody,
I feel that way, and I'm sure you do too. I feel that way about Josh Gordon. I feel that felt that way about Blackman. I mean, I don't want to see guys get thrown out of the league.
Oh, yeah. Remember that stretch of games that Gordon put together there?
With the end of the season? Oh, it's unbelievable.
A couple of them against Ike Taylor and against the Steelers. I mean, we're talking about a guy that could rival probably who? Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown for the most productive, receiver in the league. And
no doubt. He was first team all pro.
You know, when you look at that stretch of, I forget what it was, 6, 7, 8, 9 games, something like that. I mean, he really, really showed that he had the talent. And look, we all have our own personal demons, right? And it's hard to predict how each of us will overcome any of them. So just keep your fingers crossed. But if you're the Steelers, you have to move forward under the assumption that if you get him back, fine. But you can't count on it. And I think that's exactly what they were doing. I think Kevin Colbert handled that perfectly during his talk with the media down in Boca Raton and basically saying, look, feel confident about Sammy Coates. And he went as far as to even kind of compliment what they've seen out of Eli Rogers so far, albeit not much. You know, a few practices there during training camp as possibilities. They went out and they re-signed Darius Heyward-Bey. He didn't rule out the possibility of them taking a wide receiver at some point during the draft. I think a lot of people though would be surprised if that happened in the first 2 rounds this year, maybe even in the first 3 rounds. But I don't think you can entirely rule out the possibility of that happening now since Bryant's been suspended.
Taking a wide receiver, yeah, it would shock me. I gotta say. If they took one in the last couple picks, that wouldn't shock me. If they take one in the first 4 rounds, I would be really surprised.
Definitely the first three. I think maybe it becomes open to discussion depending on how the board breaks maybe round 4. And then obviously they don't have a pick currently in round 5. But I think there's some intriguing prospects round six and all, obviously they might be guys more slanted to spending their rookie season on a practice squad type of guys. But hey, let's face it, Todd Haley was present and accounted for at the Baylor Pro Day to see that young wide receiver there. So I he's on their board, I'm willing to bet.
Yeah, no, all of a sudden, let's just say Tyler Boyd slips a little bit, and he's there at the end of the third round. He's a guy they know a ton about, obviously. He's just outside the top five receivers in the draft. He's going to be 5 through 8, but he is a guy who I think in terms of you want to talk about evaluating whether a guy's going to be successful in the NFL. Give me Tyler Boyd over some of the guys who are going to be rated higher than he is in terms of, look, is he going to be Antonio Brown? No, he's not going to be Antonio Brown. But a solid number two receiver in the NFL, damn right. I'd bet a lot of money on that. So all of a sudden he's sitting there in the third round. You'd wonder if something like that, they'd look at value. The other, just to get us a little bit off track here, I was talking with some people, and Dave Damashek was one, and Caboli was another. And the question of quarterback comes up all the time. And it seems like, the Steelers, I don't know that they're signaling anything, but they're certainly not ignoring. We can safely say that the quarterback position, Dak Prescott made, I don't know if he'll drop because of a DUI, but Cardale Jones. Damashek was saying, if Cardale Jones is there in the third round, do you jump all over that? And, again, I wouldn't, but it's out there.
Well, they definitely showed a lot of interest in Dak Prescott prior to him getting popped for the DUI. I was asked about Cardale Jones on Twitter this morning. Man, I don't think I'd take him. I don't know where I have him slotted, to be honest with you.
In the fourth round, in the fourth round, maybe all of a sudden I get interested.
Another guy with potential, but you worry about.
I thought he looked terrible early.
The potential's there. Yeah. His play on the field, to me, doesn't dictate him being taken in the first three rounds. I think fourth is when maybe you have the talks about, is that the round he's taken? Now, if I could get him in the sixth round, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you maybe take a shot on his potential in round six? The thing is, I have a hard time gauging what his draft stock is right now.
Well,
this guy though. I mean, let's admit, this
about
guy
what the Browns should do. Draft Carson Wentz, and if Cardale Jones is there in the third round, draft Cardale Jones too.
What do you mean? It goes back to me.
Yeah, that's what I say. That's what you said. Maybe that's what they should do.
Yeah, and it may really if he's there in the fourth, and you can get a guy like Wentz, most definitely. But when it comes to the Steelers, I can envision this guy's already a big kid, and you kind of worry him going the route of Jamarcus Russell and kind of getting extremely big, right?
No pun intended, a huge wild card.
You kind of worry about what goes, about his maturity aspect as well, too. Remember all that stuff on Twitter last year, and classic signs of a kid, obviously, but you just worry how he would deal with the pressures of being a quarterback in the NFL. So I'll kind of leave it at there. I personally, here's where I come down on him. If I'm the Steelers, I would not take him in the first four rounds. Period.
Now, other NFL quarterback or Cardale Jones specifically?
Cardale Jones specifically. Now, I could fathom something happening with Dak Prescott. Shame on him for hurting his draft stock, though, with this DUI. I will not be surprised, however, even with this DUI, if the Steelers bring him in for a pre-draft visit.
Yeah, I'm not ruling guys out on DUIs. I mean, DUIs are bad things. Obviously, nobody's endorsing a DUI, but I'm not ruling a guy out. You figure it out, and if he's a bad dude, then you rule him out. But if the guy made a dumb mistake, find out about the circumstances. Same thing with, weed. Look, I think we all know 80%, whatever the right number is, 70-80% of the guys in the NFL smoke weed. Okay, what are you going to do, cut them all?
Here's the thing too. I mean, let's not forget that, and even this another aspect into what Colbert did and didn't say during his talk with the media on Sunday. They're not ready to hand Landry Jones a number two job right yet. He sort of patted Landry on the back while kicking him in the butt in all in one statement about the backup quarterback position. On top of that, Landry Jones is entering the final year of his rookie contract. On top of that, still up in the air what they're going to do with Bruce Gronkowski. You would think they would be wise enough at some point during the offseason to sign a veteran to push whoever, you know, the young quarterbacks on the roster there.
Well, I'll keep coming. I've been banging this Gronkowski drum for 4 months. I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, he's not going to cost anything. Look, his health is a question. So assuming he's healthy, the guy's really athletic. He knows the system. He was around all year. It's not like he got hurt and left the team. I mean, he was there every day. They like him. He's from Pittsburgh. Not that, you know, that's the last thing on the list. I don't put, you know, stock in that, but it might make him more likely to want to stay in Pittsburgh. It seems to me to be an obvious fit. I really don't get it.
Yeah, and I think it will ultimately, you know, assuming that arm and shoulder and all checks out. But, I mean, is there a need to sign him before the draft?
I guess not at this point because clearly, obviously nobody else is interested in him.
Right. And you would have to think if he had his druthers, if the money's close, and why wouldn't it be, he'd want to stay in Pittsburgh.
Yes, correct.
And the Steelers would obviously like him back on a one-year vet minimum deal that comes with that veteran, you know, benefit of the discounted salary cap hit. In other words, you pay him the vet minimum, you give him an $80,000 signing bonus. That's where all guarantees end right there, then and there, you know. And if he gets to camp and Landry Jones proves that he can have that number two job this year, and let's say they draft a guy like Prescott. And they like what he shows, you know, during the preseason. You can cut Bruce Gronkowski, you know, during the final round of cuts, and then have him a phone call away should you need him.
Yeah, yes, I agree with all of that.
So, but it was pretty telling that, you know, at the end of the season, Mike Tomlin wasn't willing to anoint Landry Jones the backup, and here we are several weeks later, and Kevin Colbert's not willing to, you know, give him anything either at this point. I think that's the right action right now when it comes to Landry Jones. But until then, the backup spot in Pittsburgh's, bless you, the backup spot in Pittsburgh is going to remain in limbo until something more definitive presents itself.
Just I will do something drastic if it's Michael Vick.
Yeah, you and me both. There's no way that should happen, you know. There's no way that should happen league wide, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, anybody who watched him play, I'm just reading a tweet that from a Cincinnati beat writer who said the NFL has admitted to missing a lot of things in the Bengals Steelers playoff game.
Breaking news.
I mean, is that a news story? Is that a story? Did somebody say something?
Boy, how many things did I highlight?
I mean, you know, it's crazy. But so, all right. Well, anyway. Okay. And more of what Kevin said. Here's one thing he said that I think should happen. And I'm sure you agree with me, Dave, is Kevin said it might not be done in free agency. And he pointed to the defensive line. And it's not they can. They should. Look, I haven't parsed every guy who's out there. But if they can find an Arthur Motes of the defensive line, you know, what they hoped Cam Thomas would be, they need that. They need more bodies here in camp. You're not going to solve this problem in the draft in terms of the depth that you have. And, in fact, they didn't have depth when they had McClendon, and now they don't have McClendon. So they need to find – and I'm surprised they – honestly, I am surprised they haven't done this. They've got to, you know, find a veteran defensive lineman who can help them out.
Yeah, and they brought in Jason Jones, but how many times have we seen over the years that once a free agent comes to Pittsburgh for a visit, if they don't sign, it seems like they never sign.
Correct. That is almost always the case.
You know, I'm trying to recall an instance when that didn't happen. Now, I'm sure there is, and if there's a listener out there that knows, I'm sure one will remind me. You know what's an interesting – here's something that I kind of tossed around in my head. I doubt it would happen. But, you know, Corbin Bryant, remember him?
Yeah. Where's he been, in Buffalo recently?
In Buffalo, and he actually hasn't played awful, you know, and he got slapped with a restricted the Bills issued him a restricted free agent tender. So at this point now, you know, the teams can go at him with an offer sheet, and then, of course, the Bills would have the right to match. Now, in offering any restricted free agent an offer sheet, it would have to be, A, probably above market value and structured in a way that the currently owning team would not match it. You know, that's why the possibility of the Steelers, you know, they did it, what, a few years ago with Andy Lee. Boy, how different would that have turned out if Andy Lee, if he wouldn't have had his offer sheet from the Steelers match. But really, I think, can you recall any other instance?
I totally forgot that. When did that happen?
After his rookie contract was up.
What year was that? Is that 10 years ago?
Oh, wow, David. Hold on a minute, and I'll tell you.
I just totally don't remember that.
Let's see. He was drafted in the sixth round of the 2004 draft. So back then,
5 years?
Back then it would have been, what, 3 years after, right? Because that was prior to the new CBA. And back then, the Steelers or teams generally, I think, let's see here if they have any note on when that actually was. I'm having trouble picking it up.
No worries. I forgot that happened.
I'm just trying to pick up when the date, what year that was. It would have either been 2000. Let's see. What did I tell you? He was drafted 2004.
Yeah.
It would either have been after the 2006 season. Well, it would have to have been after the 2006 season, I think.
Okay, well, I believe you. I just had slipped my mind. All right, so where were we going with this? We were talking about who they're going to add in free agency if they still got to do things.
Yeah, and the whole preface of what I was saying was that you know, guy like Corbin Bryant, you know, would make sense at least throwing an offer sheet at, you know, after, you know, in another week or two after a lot of this has died down. But outside of him, you know, the list, 2007, David.
Okay.
March of 2007, the Steelers.
Before we were doing the podcast.
Yeah, a life before the podcast. Was there such a thing? I'm trying to look here at the rest of the free agents out there. I think somebody threw at me Mike DeVito from the Chiefs. He's an unrestricted free agent, only played, I think, 323 snaps last year. He is 32, however. So you're talking about a guy that you'd bring in on a one-year deal. I think you have some love for you got a lot of comments about this. Terrence Knighton.
Big tub of stew.
big tub of stew. He is 30 years old. He played 408 snaps with the Redskins last year. He's currently an unsigned, unrestricted free agent. Stephen Bowen, 32, only played 141 snaps with the Jets last year. Wow, it gets thin quick. Sammy Lee Hill with the Titans, only 190 snaps last year. I don't think you want any part of Daquan Bowers. Antonio,
he wasn't in Tampa, was he?
Buccaneers, I think.
He's still there? Yeah.
I don't know if – I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent. Only played 40 snaps. Wasn't he cut? I'm trying to remember.
I think he was.
Antonio D. Smith with the Broncos, you know, 34 years of age, though. I mean, you're in that category where the guy that would fit the bill for you – is a guy that's going to be on the wrong side of 30 that you would look to probably sign to a 1 year vet minimum deal.
Yeah, get them. Get to them. Just bring guys to camp. They need more bodies. All right. So what else does Kevin have?
You know, he talked about McCullers a little bit.
That. What do you say about McCullers?
When talking kind of about, you know, the needs of the defensive lines, I'll pull up the quote here for you real quickly. He says, McCullers has shown when he has played, he's really been productive. This is what he said. On production per snap, the basics, his production is pretty good. So can he continue to develop and help us? We think so. Will there be depth on a defensive line in this draft? Absolutely. Again, it's a very deep draft on defense, particularly on the defensive line. Could we still add a guy from free agency? Yes, if it makes sense as the market continues to evolve. So really, all of those things come into play. And here's kind of what I added in that post. While McCullers has definitely had his moments in roughly the 170 defensive snaps that he's played so far in his first two seasons with Pittsburgh, he's still yet to prove that he can play the run effectively on a consistent basis, and especially when asked to defend laterally against the outside zone. More than anything, here's my thoughts more than anything when it comes to McCullers. More than anything, if McCullers is able to help serve as a reserve interior nickel pass rusher in 2016, it would certainly help reduce the playing time of Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt, as both played entirely too many snaps last season. McCullers, when he seemed to be at his best so far during his young career, David, has been as a pass rusher, right?
Yeah, he's gotten some pressure in the pocket.
Let's throw out him being an every down base defense, base nose tackle. From what I've seen, he can't do that, especially against, teams that tend to like to go laterally. Now, here's one thing to keep in mind. It looks like they're going to outrule chop blocks, right?
Yeah.
So that'll help McCullers stay on his feet some, you still worry about him as a every down base nose tackle against the run. I still think he has maybe some potential as I wrote, as a nickel, 12, 13 snap a game, maybe, pass rushing defensive tackle in nickel. But, while that praise was nice from Colbert, I don't know how much emphasis we should place on it.
I don't put much on it. I'll be surprised if Danny McCullers is ever a regular participant for the Steelers. It didn't happen this year. I we can all hope for it, but I don't see it. Okay. Any other topics we missed? By the way, Tomlin should be speaking in about 15 minutes, so that'll be about 1:30. So Dave will be cranking away after, we see what comes out of that, but probably much more of the same, not expecting a ton.
I think he hit the nail on the head saying the reason why they've addressed really offense during free agency thus far, talking about Ladarius Green and Ryan Harris, is because they really do envision this being a defensive draft for the team. But I don't think that's anybody listening to this podcast is shocked that the Steelers should more than likely spend at least three of their first four draft picks this year on defense.
Yep.
So, nothing real earth shattering there. He justified the reasons to bring back guys like Ramon Foster and William Gay. I don't think that's overly a surprise when it comes to the team. And really, I think we've kind of nailed down all of the topic, the talking points, as it's related to Colbert so far.
All right, let's just hit on one other thing.
Oh, here, one last thing. He talked about the future of Shamarco Thomas, and you want to talk about dancing with the stars. Colbert certainly did that when asked about Thomas's future. He says, "I can't really speak to it because I'm not involved with it day to day." Boy, what a cop out! What a cop out opening sentence, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's willing to pass these questions all on to Mike, so Mike's going to get them today. And when asked about who the starter is opposite William Gay and that type of stuff. So, yeah, we'll see how it plays out, but yes.
Here's the rest of the quote. "I think Shamarco has proven to be a valuable special teams player for us. Has he held on to a starting job? No, but when you have reliable guys who have come through in the past, it was a little easier to go back knowing they could if one guy wasn't measuring up. So are we going to have those options this year? Probably not as many. I'm still trying to parse all that. I guess it's almost like saying, well, we almost have to keep Shamarco because even if we draft a safety, we're not going to have much depth.
Yeah, I mean, right. The ships for Shamarco to play in the base defense or in the nickel, whatever defense you want to call it, that sailed, man. Third year was this year. He got every opportunity. Not happening.
After playing 190 defensive snaps in his first half of his 2013 rookie season, Thomas has only played a total of 23 snaps in the past 2.5 seasons.
And, you know, half of those were blitzing opportunities off the edge.
And a few more of them were kneel downs.
Yeah, right, right.
The team still has Ross Ventrone, but you know, we all know Ross Ventrone's a special teams player, and unfortunately that looks like all Shamarco is right now at this point as well too. And how many times have we heard Tomlin say, you know, above the neck is where Shamarco has his problems at currently.
You only have to say that one time, and that is because once you've said it, it's out there. It is, you know, that is a damning statement.
The thing is, I wrote this in the post just this morning or last night. You know, he has all the physical tools, you know,
yeah,
but
yeah.
he just does. I mean, he's a hard hitter. They don't nickname him Headache for nothing, right? You know, it's just the X's and O's, I think. When it comes to that deal, that's all I've got as far as what the deal with him is. I mean, if he stays healthy, he's a good special teams player, and I'll be glad to have him on the roster. Because, hey, let's face it, this team's lost some special teams players this year, right?
Yeah, Garvin most notably, and obviously Sean Spence. So,
right. So, you know, you can't wipe the cupboard completely bare. I mean, here's one thing to think about, too. What if and we really didn't discuss this, you know, they re-signed Robert Goldman. Let's assume he starts the season opposite Mike Mitchell. How often do you want Robert Goldman out there on special teams?
Fair question, and probably I still do.
Well, as the up back on punts,
for sure,
probably definitely.
Yep.
But do you really want him out there anything other than that?
Yeah, you know, interesting question to see how that develops. I mean, look, we're going to see who makes this roster, but. You know, is Senquez Golson going to be involved at all in special teams? You know, how much playing time is he going to have? You know, you would assume your secondary guys who aren't your top five are going to be playing special teams for sure.
Yeah, and young linebackers for sure be part of that, as they always are, and young tight ends as well too. That's why it's kind of exciting to see what can possibly happen with that young tight end that spent the season on the practice squad.
Xavier Grimble.
Right, Xavier Grimble. You know, can he beat out a guy like Matt Spaeth? You know, because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Matt Spaeth, his best years are behind him, and especially his best years as a special teams player. So that's worth watching, especially if this team doesn't draft a tight end now at this point. You know, so I think Grimble is a guy definitely to pay attention on, not only as a tight end during the offseason program and preseason games, but, you know, how he's able to function as a special teams player, you know, as a wing blocker in punt and field goal protection and being able to function on punt and kickoff returns and that kind of
thing.
Yeah,
Will Johnson's gone, right? I mean, that ship has sailed, right?
If you bring him back, it's on a 1-year minimum deal with just because you need an extra backup fullback body in case something was to happen to Roosevelt Nix. Because Roosevelt Nix is your guy, but it would be nice to have competition in camp should, God forbid, he have another injury.
Yeah, Rosie Nix is your guy, and like you say, Grimble could be one of those guys as well. All right, just one other topic I want to hit on here. RG3.
Is this the point of the game show that I passed? what was that? You remember that old, I'm dating myself here, password, the password is.
Password, that's what it was. Password.
And they give the clue and someone would say pass or something like that. Oh, man. Price has to do with everything when it comes to players such as that. I mean, why would you want to tie much up into that if you're the Browns?
I wouldn't do it. I don't know why. You know, they got McCown, draft Wentz, and, you know, go get Cardell Jones, whatever.
Yeah, I'm with you there, too. I mean, salary's everything when it comes to a player like that. Will he wind up somewhere competing? Yes. I just don't know where. I would have a hard time getting on board. But would he fit what your buddy Chip Kelly does?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his – I don't know what RG3's future is. I mean, he got banged by, you know, his teammates, the O-line guys, the receivers. I assume physically he's in good shape, but he's never going to be kind of the guy that – he's never going to be the 4-3 guy playing quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, you would think if Chip Kelly wants a mobile guy who can, you know, read defenses, he's by all accounts a reasonably smart guy, although they say, he wasn't running the plays he was supposed to run, so I don't know where you go with that. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with it.
I think the other game show I was trying to think of was $100,000 pyramid.
It started as the $10,000 pyramid.
There you go. Maybe it still is or was. No, it got up to $100,000, didn't it?
Yeah, $50,000.
There was a candy bar mixed in there somewhere as well, too, yeah, I remember.
Payday.
Here's one other thing I kind of wanted to tackle. A month ago, David, not only would I have bet you that the Steelers would have re-signed either Kelvin Beachum or Steve McClendon during free agency, I also would have bet you that the Steelers would have restructured a contract or more by then.
That would have been a million, bet a million on that. That was a guarantee. It was how many?
That hasn't happened yet.
I think that's the most surprising thing of the offseason, what the cap situation is.
None of
us know, apparently.
I do, but nobody wants to. Heck, the NFLPA knows, and my numbers are right on top of those, to be honest with you. But here's the thing. Now that we're a full week away, week past Maurkice Pouncey and Cameron Hayward getting their 2016 roster bonuses, I think it's almost a good bet that their contracts will now be left alone, barring any emergency needs, because combined – restructuring both those players at this point, now that they've been paid their roster bonus, the Steelers can only free up $3.847 million in salary cap space. So it's a good bet that they're going to leave their contracts alone this year. And you would think that the Steelers don't want to restructure the contracts of safety Mike Mitchell and Marcus Gilbert after already doing that last offseason with both those guys. So that leaves Ben Roethlisberger as the only likely candidate for a restructure the remainder of the offseason. And as I wrote in my post, if they did that to the fullest amount, they could clear a little more than $12.5 million in salary cap space. However, I doubt if it does – when and if they do that now, I would not expect them to go to those extremes. And here's the long and short of where the Steelers are at salary caps-wise. The NFLPA currently has the Steelers at roughly $2.63 million under their adjusted salary cap number. But keep in mind, we still think there's $561,000 coming for roster bonuses and then a veteran cap credit payback that I've written about forever and a day of $1.125 million. Keep in mind that they still have to allocate roughly another $1.42 million in salary cap space in order to accommodate the signing of their currently scheduled 7 draft picks. And in addition to that, another $2.1 million in cap space needs to be allocated to their 10-man practice squad and to accommodate the final 2 roster spots on their 53-man roster. And if that's not enough, the Steelers generally like to enter the regular season with $3 million in available salary cap space in order to handle in-season roster moves. So right now, looking at what needs to be paid out versus what they have a deficit of $5.577 million in cap space, as far as I can tell. Now, how do they go about navigating through?
You made me dizzy here. I'm sure that's hard for everybody to follow, but I know there's a post on it. But so the larger point is, it's just Ben, and if they can get $7 million out of that, they're you feel like they'll be in reasonable shape.
Well, and here's the thing too. Remember, we've speculated that Lawrence Timmons, a contract extension with him, if no new signing bonus is given as part of that, and if that such a animal gets done, they could free up as much as maybe $5.1 million there. And let's not forget, at some point during this offseason, we expect David DeCastro to get an extension, and that will likely decrease his cap number by around $3 million on top of that. So keep in mind that you still have the prospects of cutting Cortez Allen and Sean Swisham later on in the offseason, and we'll see what happens with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown's contract. So it is fathomable now at this point to think that the Steelers might make it through this whole offseason without restructuring a single contract. But if they do, it's more than likely going to be Ben Roethlisberger, but it wouldn't be for the full amount.
All right, excellent. So Mike Tomlin will be speaking. Check out SteelersDepot.com for the latest on what he's had to say. And, you know, we'll keep you posted. But as is, we will plan to be back on Friday as the owners' meetings will have concluded. We'll get into some of the rule changes that have not been discussed. Steeler free agency here basically has wound down. And obviously then we will kind of start ramping up draft talk going forward.
Yeah, let's give a shout-out real quick to some recent donations we've received. David, James Waller, Jeff White, Junior Anderson, Carmen Salvino, Chris Burt, Tony Swanson, Nicholas, I think we already hit Nicholas Shenyatta, Luis Alberto Diaz, and the list goes on. I hope we didn't miss your name there, but thank you for donating to the show. If you want to chime in on anything that we've had to say today in today's podcast, more specifically our talk early in the show about cornerbacks, send an email to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com and title it "Dave Bryant is an Idiot" and tell me why the Steelers should really consider drafting a cornerback in the first round. Those should be fun maybe to reread in an upcoming show. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the podcast at Terrible Podcast. As I mentioned, email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're listening to David's show on ESPN 970. And if you miss it, you can check out the podcast page on that site and hear all of the stuff that you may have missed. God willing that you did that. David, have a great Monday.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.